Coming up, it's all politics from NPR News.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
And I'm amazed that both parties have already agreed on one of the nominees.
They've decided on both nominees.
Well, they've decided on the nominee of the Democratic Party. Both parties
have.
Well,
both parties are running against the same person.
They are. It astonishes me. In all seriousness, Hillary Clinton has opened such a lead in the polls. She is dominating the conversation. She is setting the pace. The pack of other candidates running along behind her. But if the Democrats are leaning towards Hillary Clinton, the Republicans have already decided the Democrats will nominate Hillary Clinton.
George W. Bush said it to a bunch of reporters last week. Karl Rove has said it over and over again. He says she's fatally flawed. I don't know why he stammers when he says that, but he's fatally flawed. but he still says, nonetheless, she's a nominee.
And so do the other Republicans who were actually running for president in 2008. You ask those guys who they think they're going to be running against on the Democratic side, and uniformly they will say, oh, the Democrats are going to nominate Hillary.
They don't have a uniform position on immigration or Iraq or President Bush, and yet they all seem to be united around the specter of Hillary Clinton as the Democratic nominee.
Ken, you've been paying attention to politics now for what?
20 minutes?
15, 20 minutes. Can you ever remember a cycle in which either party was so certain that the other party was going to nominate a particular person? Non-incumbent, of course.
No, but you know what it does remind me? It reminds me of the Democrats in 1980 who basically said, we would love to run against Ronald Reagan. This would be the greatest thing. He's so extreme. He's so way out there.
But they didn't think the Republicans would nominate him. They were not expecting Ronald Reagan to be the nominee in 1980. They were hoping him. Jimmy Carter in 1980 thought that he would catch a huge break if Ronald Reagan were the nominee.
Exactly.
Because he thought some of the other people would be so much harder for him to
Howard win. Baker, George H.W. Bush,
that's
much
right.
Stronger candidates.
And
Ben
so
Fernandez.
He thought Ronald Reagan's nomination was his salvation.
The Democrats thought that too, and as it turned out, as I recall, Ronald Reagan did win the presidency that year.
Yes, he just barely squeaked by
right there
in 1980.
Right.
Yeah. Not, actually. He won rather thrashingly over
yes.
Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
And I'm not in a position, I would not be inclined to predict that we were going to see anything like that kind of a Ronald Reagan reversal of prediction with respect to Hillary Clinton. I don't think she's necessarily going to be anywhere near as strong as Ronald Reagan was. But it's interesting that you raise this thought that perhaps a party is not the best judge of who the easiest candidate for them to defeat might be.
And yet, if you listen to Tim Russert's questions in this week's debate,
Democrats.
You listened also to the Democrats' response, they decided that the answer is differentiating themselves from Hillary Clinton. And you know something, I listened to it, I thought Joe Biden was impressive, I thought Chris Dye was impressive, I thought John Edwards was impressive.
I thought all three of them was good.
Right,
good.
I thought kind of like Obama was almost kind of invisible. I didn't think
He had a cold, people kept telling us he's not feeling well, he really shouldn't be here. But of course, when you're a presidential candidate, you can't ever say, I don't feel well. You must always project health and confidence, so he couldn't just drop out. But you're right. He did not seem to be really present.
No. And yet, Hillary Clinton didn't seem to dominate anything. I think a lot of questions she either avoided or skirted the issue or just went on to this monologue that just skirted the issue. Is that why you're smiling? I didn't know that.
I'm also smiling because I'm thinking about the question about who would she root for in a World Series between the Cubs and the Yankees.
Ultimate Hillary Clinton answer.
I'd have to change sides.
Right.
I'd have to alternate sides.
Right.
I thought she went right down the middle. She just did her thing and let everybody else be reactive to her. It isn't just that she's the only person on the stage wearing a dress. It's that she stands out in every way.
She is
setting the tone. She is calling the tune.
But although I should say Mike Gravel wore a pantsuit, which it was nice.
There's another debate we have to talk about this week. The Republicans had a debate this week at Morgan State University in Maryland, and this is a historically black college, and it was a debate that had been set up many months ago by Tavis Smiley, television personality, former NPR personality, and Tavis had worked very hard to get all the Democrats and all the Republicans together for a debate that would focus on issues of interest to African Americans.
And the major candidates were nowhere to be found. Rudy Giuliani, Fred Thompson, Mitt Romney, John McCain.
Would have thought John McCain would go for Tom Tancredo.
All the leading candidates were not there because they had scheduling conflicts.
Oh, they had scheduling conflicts despite the fact that this had been planned for many months.
But, you know, something in fairness to the Republican candidates, which is what I do quite often, as Accuracy and Media likes to point out, is that they also skipped a values forum last week in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Now, sponsored by Christian conservatives.
Christian conservatives, the same leading candidates didn't show up. They said, you know, scheduling conflicts, and the people who did show up were, you know, the Mike Huckabees, the Sam Brownbacks, the Duncan Hunters, the Ron Pauls of the world. But my point is that they also said, well, you know, ultimately, were they dissing? Do they not care about Christian conservative voters? I don't think so.
And I wouldn't say they did not care about African-American voters. I think they would like to have as many votes from both groups as they can get. But realistically, which group needs more outreach from the Republican Party?
I would definitely say the Christian conservatives.
You're going to have a hard time answering
this. No. The point is, if they showed up, first of all, it is fair to say that President Bush, right, you know, arguably or not, did make some inroads in the African American community, decided after his second term reelection that he was going to move in that direction. That was Karl Rove's plan of building a permanent Republican majority. And then, of course, came Hurricane Katrina and all was lost. But one, Tavis Smiley seemed to have been baiting these Republicans for a long time. Like, how could you know? You have to be there. And they've been really critical of the Republican Party and their policies.
You mean the style of the way that he was inviting them was more of a challenge than an invitation?
In-your-face challenge, I think.
And so they expected that when they actually got there, it
would have been a hostile debate.
It would have been a hostile set of questions, a hostile panel, and a hostile audience.
And ultimately, let's say they all showed up. Would African-American voters suddenly see the Republican candidates in a new light? I really think, I know that Jack Kemp, I know that Newt Gingrich, I know that Michael Steele, a lot of Republicans who have inroads and influence in the black community.
Michael Steele being the former lieutenant governor of Maryland and an African-American and a Republican.
But they've all criticized it. They said it's very short-sighted. And my argument is that ultimately I really don't think it makes that much of a difference if they skip in September of 2007 this debate.
But isn't it sending a signal that is in some sense or another consonant with a signal that a lot of other African-Americans are getting from, for example, the Gina 6 controversy in Louisiana and from a number of other incidents and issues before Congress and so on, that the Republican Party's period of trying to reach out to them, to these communities, is at an end?
No, I think as it...
Wait. Is that your cell phone?
Wait, hold on 1 second. Honey? Oh, Mrs. Giuliani. Judy. Yeah.
We've talked about this.
Oh, yeah, no. I think Rudy's still at the NRA conference pretending that it's an impromptu phone call. Yeah.
We've talked about this.
Well, hold on.
We can't have you beginning.
Judy, I gotta
calls.
Go. Okay, bye. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Just that this comes at a time when a lot of African Americans and Hispanic Americans as well have felt that the period of outreach, the period in which the Republican Party was trying to enlarge its tent with respect to ethnic voting groups, has ended. The Republican Party also has a couple of other problems at this particular juncture that are plaguing the party at a time when it is trying to get more into position for the 2008 elections. One is the distraction of Larry Craig, which many Republicans had hoped would have resigned from the Senate today or by this week, by the end of the month of September. And Larry Craig is still with us and has said now that he's not going to resign as of September 30th.
Right. The judge in the he wanted to take back his guilty plea in the misdemeanor disorderly conduct case in Minnesota. The judge there said, well, he'll need at least another week to rule. And so Larry Craig says, okay, for now, I am rescinding my September 30th.
I'm going to make a prediction. I think that judge is going to tell him that he can't, that he has to stick with his guilty plea, that there's no basis on which he can say that Larry Craig has a reason to withdraw that plea, and therefore he's going to be back where he was, and he's going to have to decide whether or not he wants to resign, having his guilty plea still on the books.
The thought of him staying out to the end of his term in January 2009 is unacceptable for many.
They don't want us talking about him. They don't want anybody talking about him. They just want him to go away.
Mitch McConnell actually had a press conference just the other day, that, probably in my imagination, where he said that perhaps maybe the best place for Larry Craig would be to go to Iran, where there are no gay people.
Oh, that would straighten him out. Mm. There is also the end of the third quarter. The end of this week is the end of the month of September, and that means fundraising reports from all the presidential candidates. What are we going to learn, Ken?
We're going to learn, once again, as we've seen for the first... How many quarters are there in a year?
I was told there would be no math.
We'll see that the Democrats will vastly outraise the Republican candidates because there is more vibrancy and excitement on the Democratic side with their Democratic candidates as well. But I think, seriously, though, if Fred Thompson gets in the race, that will shake everything up.
That will shake everything up. Do you know who said this wonderful thing about Fred Thompson, that the demand for Fred Thompson greatly exceeds the supply?
You just said that.
I just said it, but right. I borrowed it from somebody else. I heard somebody else quoting somebody else. I'm just wondering if you know who originated that line, because I think it sums up a lot of the things that you've said about him. There's a tremendous demand for him, but when you actually get the guy in the race, he supplies very little of what that is a demand.
I don't know. Who is that person?
What's being demanded? I don't know.
Oh, but
it's a mystery, but maybe the listener knows.
But now, maybe he could call us. Wait. Thank you. You know when you get a gimmick, you just can't pick it up.
You don't know that about me.
But Newt Gingrich is playing the same old game. Well, you know, if these candidates don't really come to their senses, if they don't really understand about the black vote, they don't understand they have to separate themselves from President Bush, well, if they're not going to do it, somebody else needs to jump in the ring, and it's me. And again, as we said with Fred Thompson, the issue is not that the candidates are not sufficiently
conservative or Republican.
It's that they are Republicans. They are Republicans in a time when the Republican Party is on the defensive with President Bush, with the war in Iraq, with a confusing tax policy, immigration policy, and they're on the defensive. Ultimately, I think when they unite behind a nominee, I think perhaps the era of George W. Bush will end and the new era will begin. But right now, I think that there's a lot of dispiritedness. If I can make up a word.
Dispiritedness. I see. And so what we're anticipating is, again, disappointing numbers for John McCain, disappointing numbers perhaps even for Thompson, the new guy in the race. Rudy Giuliani, we know this week, has let go his principal fundraiser. Not a good sign in the week that you're filing your report.
And they also have this embarrassment, even though it's not a major thing, but it was almost an obscene suggestion by some volunteers that they would have everybody contribute $9.11 to the Giuliani campaign, which is...
Can you say tacky?
Well, it is tacky because Giuliani clearly does not want to be associated with 9/11.
Well, he doesn't want to be thought of as a candidate running merely on 9/11.
That's right. Okay, I'm sorry, Judy. Okay. One thing to say about the Republicans, though, there's a new New Hampshire poll that shows there is slight uptick for John McCain, that, you know, the...
Not dead yet?
No, the rumors of his death are premature. And again, he doesn't have any money. We don't know what organization he has other than the early states, but there is some life left in this guy.
So that's an exception to the rule of what's happening in terms of momentum to most of these candidates. And we should also point out that Mitt Romney does not have any real fundraising worries because in the end, he's going to become a self-financing candidate anyway, and he can write the checks.
And he still maintains those early leads in Iowa, New Hampshire.
And he's competitive in South Carolina.
Absolutely.
As well.
Right.
That's it for this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/politics.
I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Reardon.
Join us again next week for It's All Politics from NPR.
First Podcasting, and now mobile, too. You can hear NPR News headlines, today's most important stories, even the wait, don't tell me quiz on your phone. Find out more by clicking on mobile. That's halfway down the left side of the homepage at npr.org.